This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 252 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate, as my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And on this episode, we are wrapping up sequels month. So we've been watching some sequels from some movies that we watched sometimes like years ago, and some of them a little more recent. And we're wrapping this up with a little movie called Kill Bill Volume 2 from 2004, directed by Quentin Tarantino, of course, which we haven't done a lot of. He's not an action movie director, really. These two and Django, I think, are the only ones we've done on this podcast.
Yeah.
So we're wrapping it up with this now. Alex, I know you have seen this movie, but I think you've only ever seen it once, and it was right after the first one, right?
Yeah, once after episode 24, you were like, oh, we're never going to do whatever. So I was like, all right, let me just watch the second one. I put it on, I watched it, but that's the last time I seen it. Yeah, so this is the second time me watching it.
Okay, so truth be told, I haven't seen this movie in quite a while. I have seen one more times than two. I'm not saying I don't like to, it just worked out that way, sort of. I feel like I saw one in the theater when it came out. I saw it on DVD more when it came out. But it's been a long time since I watched this. So this is pretty much like a fresh take for me. So we're going to give you guys our honest opinion on the movie, if we liked it, if we didn't like it. But before we do that, let's let you know if the critics and other people enjoyed it. Kill Bill Volume 2, and this is not surprising because it's a Tarantino movie, 84% critic score, 89% audience score. Pretty much everything he makes, almost everything he makes, is usually very well received. And I did a poll on, before I let you know or ask you what your opinion on this, I did a poll on my Instagram, a little one, not really. Only one person responded, but they did say they like this one better. I said, do you like one or do you like two? And I do know there's a following for this over one. They are very sort of different movies. Even though they're the same, they're different. So are you surprised with those scores? I mean, I'm not.
No. When it comes to like Tarantino, Marvel movies, I'm already at a point that I'm like, we already know where it's going to be. What ballpark. Yeah, it's pretty much, you already know. So like, I'm not shocked by it, but I mean, I'm really intrigued to see what you really, what we think about it. Because honestly, it's going to be a very different discussion than like what we had
before.
We've
never discussed this movie. Even after we did the first movie, we didn't talk about two. Like, you watched it, but we didn't really talk about it. So I'm interested to get your take as well. So we're going to jump right in. In this movie, of course, our lead character, once again, Beatrix Kiddo, played by Uma Thurman. And this time, this is the one where they actually say her name, which they never said in the first one. She was just the bride. Yeah. What did you think?
So I thought, what did I give her? I gave it a 5. I thought she was really good in the movie. The character was very well written. Quentin Tarantino, I mean, he did write this, right?
Oh, yeah. He writes all
his movies. So he wrote and directs all his movies.
Correct.
Okay, so one thing he does very well is writing. I think he's a great writer for film. My problem is that I'm not into his style of writing, if it makes sense. I'm not into his style. So like, a lot of his movies is just not for me, but some of them are, because some of them have that element of action and drama or storyline. Mm-hmm. Like this, the Kill Bill, I enjoyed, but part one I liked. This one was very different from one. That's what I want to talk about. But her character was the same, did get upgraded a little bit, you know, told more of her backstory, told more, you know, more where her fighting come from, why she's the best, you know, assassin and all this in the world. And I liked it. I was like, wow, I was like, this is pretty good. Uma Thurman, I'm not a big Uma Thurman fan. I do like her as Poison Ivy, but that's like pretty much it. Like, I've seen her in, like, I don't see her much in movies. Like, I don't watch movies with Uma Thurman as much, more than her husband, Ethan Hawke. Like, I've seen a lot of Ethan Hawke movies, but not much as Uma Thurman. But I gotta say, she's a hell of a, if it is her, but she's a hell of a fighter. I mean, stunt. Like, she did her stunts. You could see.
She did some. Zoe Bell, of course, was the famous. She's the stunt woman who did the real hardcore, like getting flung through the walls and stuff like that.
Right.
Was Zoe Bell. Yeah.
Well, this one she did. I mean, she looked very well when she was.
Yeah,
I thought she did very well, and she looked natural at it. Some females don't. Like, but I liked her. I thought the character is very well written, and I thought she was great. So I gave her a 5.
I gave her a 5 too. I think this is a great character. And the funny thing is, you're right. Somehow in the second movie, she got more backstory than in the first movie.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the first movie opens with her getting shot, like, at the wedding. Then she's in the coma. She gets out of it. She goes on her revenge journey. That's pretty much it. I feel like one is a more straightforward, simple kind of story. This one, you get the wedding stuff before she gets shot. why she was there, how she got to that place, how she was pregnant, why she was pregnant. And then you also get the dynamic of, you get the background of her training, like you mentioned, with Pai Mei, which I love all those scenes. But, you know, you get the training. And then you get the daughter stuff at the end, where it's like, oh my God, he catches her totally off guard. She shows up. She doesn't know he has the daughter. You know, as far as she knows, she's dead. And seeing her and all that, it adds a layer to her. I think you're right. I do know that, and it's kind of in the credits, but Uma Thurman and Quentin Tarantino came up with the character together. And then he wrote the whole script. So you could tell, though, that he wrote it for her. She's the only one who could play it, and she absolutely nailed it. I thought her performance was great. I thought the character was great. I'm on the journey with her. I'm rooting for her, which is, you know, something you want when you're watching any movie, really. But so, yeah, I agree with you. I gave her a 5. I think she's great. All right, now, villain. Now, there's, of course, similar to the first one, there's a couple. You get the other two of the Deadly Viper, and then Bill is ultimately the final kind of bad guy that she's going after the whole time.
So I know Bill is the main dude.
Yeah.
So when it comes, I did it all because, I mean, she fought a lot of other people and they all knew her. So I was just like, it is. I gave it a 4. I thought they were great. I think the guy in the trailer, I thought he was cool. Then the girl with the patch, I thought she was actually really cool too. I thought she was beautiful.
Daryl Hannah played the patch. Yeah, Daryl Hannah's the actress.
Yeah, I think she was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then Kill Bill at the end. I thought he was really good. I liked that he fought. Well, they had a cool fight scene. It wasn't a fight, but I kind of liked the chair scene.
That was cool.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Thought that was cool. I did like the master, Kung Fu. I thought that was actually pretty cool. I like that. But in terms of villains, I thought they had the fight scenes, like we say. Do they fight? Yeah. Bill didn't send nobody. He did everything his own. He knew he'd made a mistake. So in terms of like storyline, fighting wise, I thought it was a great job in terms of that. In terms of the villains and characters, it made sense. And I thought it progressed the storyline. So I thought it was pretty good. So I gave it a 4. I thought it was great.
Yeah. You know what? I agree with you. I'm not going to give it a 5 because, like, to me, if Bill was in it way more, I would probably be at a 5 because I do think Bill's a great character. He is, every time, David Carradine, I think, absolutely nails the performance of the way he talks, you know? He talks in these like long kind of stories and his voice. It's just, it's great. But he's like sadistic and he admits it. I'm a jerk. I'm a bad guy. I kill people. I'm not, you know, I'm not this. I'm not that. I love the scene when they're at the end with him and they're, and he's like making the sandwich and he's talking about how she killed the fish. And he's basically like, look, even she killed, you know, and she has to learn about life and death. Like he doesn't play games, Bill. So I like Bill. I think he's great, but he really only shows up at the end and then earlier when he's, you know, at the church, which is, you know that happens from the first movie. L, that's the Daryl Hannah's character. They have the fight. They have like the fight of the movie. So I thought she was cool. She was in the first movie too. She was the nurse that does that whistle, that song that she's like whistling. And then Bud, I think, is the other guy. That's Michael Madsen. Bud's okay. I like the scene where he gets fired at the strip club. That scene makes me laugh every time when he's looking at the calendar.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, oh, you on the calendar? No. He scribbles it out. He's like, is this your name? Nope. This is where your name used to be. It cracks me up every single time. They were cool. But Bill, I think, is an excellent villain. You do want him to, you want her to get revenge on him. You do. So I think that's a success, but I can't give it a 5. I he's not in it enough. And you're right. The fight is really short. Like they're in chairs. It looks cool, but it's literally 30 seconds. And then she hits him with the 5-point exploding heart technique. And then that's it. And he's going to die. Yeah. So I gave him a 4. I agree with you. I gave him a 4. This is what I want to know, because this is a weird movie. What did you give the action?
Okay. In terms of, it's not much action in this movie. It's a lot of yapping across this whole damn movie. But what I'm going to do, I hate to do like the whole quantity versus quality, but this time I think quality is going to win over.
Okay.
Quentin Tarantino does a hell of a job with the camera work in terms of fighting. Mm-hmm. And if he's imitating like the old school martial art movies, I got to say he did a great job. I gave it a 5.
Wow.
Because I think the fight between her and the eye patch lady, it's a very great fight sequence in that trailer. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? It's pretty cool. But every time Uma Thurman did her fight scenes, it felt natural to the story. It didn't feel forced. Like, I'm going to just throw an action movie just to throw an action scene in there. And I felt like it worked very well for this story. I thought the amount, I thought it was great. And I'm not going to base it on like, there's so many. No, I think the quality of how he picked selective, where we're going to put it, I think worked very well. So with that, I gave it a 5. I thought it was a perfect amount for me.
You're going to make me be the bad guy here. And I didn't see this coming, to be honest. I gave it a 3.
Wow.
Now, here's why I would agree with you. The trailer fight is absolutely perfect. It's a perfect fight scene. I love it. It's brutal. They're slamming each other through the walls. They're kicking and punching each other. They're busting each other up. I love the shot of when she puts her face in the toilet and he shoots it from the toilet and then she flushes it so she can breathe. The whole thing.
She took the eye. She went, what?
Yeah. I even love the setup when they have the swords and they get in that pose. And then I wish they did more with the swords. They just pretty much hit them and then they're stuck there. And then she just rips her eye out. It is a perfect fight scene. The problem is it's the only fight scene in this whole movie. There's one. Other than that, you get some training where they're just doing this. You know, they're just doing like forms. It looks cool, but it's not really action. And then she gets shot by a shotgun and they do the chair fight at the end. That's 30 seconds. So I will be the bad guy here. I think one perfect fight scene and almost nothing else. I gotta give it a 3. I gave it a 3. Now, if there was literally, I'm not even lying to you, if there was a second fight scene that was more than 10 seconds, I would probably be on your side. There's no 4 here. It was either going to be this 3 or a 5. But there's just what, like you said, this movie is dialogue heavy. I'm okay with it. I love the movie. I just gave the action a 3. So you gave it a 5. And I understand where you're coming from. I gave it a 3 and let the chips fall where they may. So I'm going to get a hate mail now, but whatever. I don't care about it. Okay. Storyline.
Okay. This is where... You're this is where I'm going to be the bad guy. This is where we go. Okay. This is where the fans of Quentin Tarantino.
They're going to come for choose, you. The mob.
They're going to come for me with pitchforks and everything. I gave it a 3.
Oh.
I thought it was good. Mm-hmm. But let me just tell you, it's some boring ass scenes in this freaking movie. I ain't lying. I literally was like, this movie, throughout certain scenes, I was like, this shit is boring. Mm. I was like, this is very, very dialogue. Like, if you're not into dialogue, like, you're going to have problems with this movie. Because you're going to be like, yo, can you just hurry up and get to where we need to go? This movie just was... It's such a mixed bag for me because there's certain parts I did like a lot and I was heavy invested in. Then there was other parts that I was like, man, this shit is boring. Like I was like, I don't feel like I'm connecting with this type of film. I'm not saying it's worse than the first movie because I like the first movie. I think it's a way better movie than the second one because they had more action and it gave you a less story, but more action where this one is less action, more story. Yeah. So it's like they flopped the formats.
Yeah, for real.
But
honestly.
Yeah, that's what they did. So for me, it didn't work for me as much. So I was just like, oh, damn. But I thought it was good. It was just that I'm not going to slap it a 2 for a decent. I thought it was a good storyline. But for me, it was just way too much dialogue that I didn't even care for as much. Mm. But I gave it a 3.
Oh, we're going to flip. Now we're going to hit the old flippity-doo. So they're coming for me with the action, maybe. Now they're coming for you with the story. That being said, I didn't give it a 5 either. I gave it a 4, though. I do think it's really good. The thing is, I love words and language and dialogue. Yeah. So, like, Tarantino's writing, just it really works for me a lot. The reason I gave it a 4, this might be weird, but I don't care. The reason I gave it a 4 is this is one of those occasions where this movie, there's volume 1, there's volume 2. Now, of course, as far as I know, it's one story that he split into 2. And, you know, you get a lot of these movies, like, you think of Harry Potter, right? Like, the Deathly Hallows, part 1, part 2, or, I don't know, Twilight, part 1, part 2. Those don't feel like part 1s and part 2s, right? They feel like one of them usually really sucks, and then the other one feels rushed. This is probably one of the only times that I could think of where this feels like a part 1 and part 2 of a same story. And because of that, it feels like it's broken because it's not all in one thing. And that's why I gave it a 4. If this was one, and I know it's long, but if this was like one 4-hour movie, it would be a 5 for me. But because it's a half and half, you know what I mean? Like, this movie starts at the middle of a story. It works. It still works. And if you watch them back to back, then it works. But we're just breaking down this one by itself. So I gave it a 4. I do think the writing's great. I think it's strong. But you're right. There are a lot of parts that seem unnecessary. Like, even though I love that part at the strip club because I think it's funny, did he really need it? No. could have been cut. There's a few times like that where scenes could have been cut altogether or shortened. I love the training montage, though. Leave that in there. The Bill stuff's great. The fight scene's great. But there's just moments
The scene with Bill going to his brother asking for the sword was useless because he had it in his closet.
It could have been cut, honestly. Like, it didn't really need to be there. I love the wedding scene where they show what happened before they get shot. That was necessary. But even like the bookends, sort of, when she's like driving in the car talking, and at the end she's like driving in the car. Like, there's a few parts that I was like, whatever.
But I do agree with you in terms of the way the movie was shot, because when you said it and you was naming these movies, you're right. But one movie you forgot that did it very well was The Lord of the Rings. Felt like they all connected. Like,
they did feel like one big story.
Yeah, but like three parts.
I feel like they all worked as individuals more than Kill Bill works as individuals. Like, they really needed to be one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they really needed to be one. Just like the Deathly Hallows.
Justice League?
That should have been one movie, but instead they want to stretch out this. The first one's so boring, and then the second one moves at a million miles an hour. This doesn't suffer from that. But it feels like one big story. And because
so you think this one should have got the Zack Snyder Justice League treatment?
Oh, 100%. If they ever released that whole Bloody Affair version that's supposed to come out, I would buy it in a heartbeat. And I think it would be amazing. So, yes, exactly. If it was one 4-hour movie, perfect. But it's not.
And it's broken up into chapters. So it's just like Justice League. You can put in whatever chapter you want.
It's 10 chapters.
You can watch it from there.
And, you know, but the movie starts with chapter 5. So, like, let's just say you hadn't seen the first one. You ain't going to know what's even going on. So 4 for me. 3 for you. That's fine. Overall.
All right. So this is funny because I was kind of torn. Like, where do I want to put the score? Like, do I want to put it in the middle or do I want to jack it up a bit? But I got to say, this is why I'm going to give it what I gave it. Quentin Tarantino, I don't like him much because of, like, what his writing is and whatever. Yeah. But as a filmmaker, he is phenomenal. I love all the black and white scenes. Mm. I thought they worked very well. The beginning, when she's in the casket, is black and white. Certain other scenes, I forgot that she was in black and white.
The wedding is in black and white. Casket scene starts off in black and white.
Yeah, like, I love the way he utilizes certain techniques to make you feel like, wow, this is actually pretty cool. When it went from widescreen to 8:16 or whatever it is, like that small vintage old-looking camera shot when she was getting dragged into the casket, or was it the other way around? But anyway, when they pulled her out of something, that looked great. I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. And then the fighting felt like martial arts movies and utilized it with modern techniques of filmmaking. Like, I thought it all worked very well. So, like, I gave it a 4. I know the storyline, I gave it a 3 or whatever, but I think with a blend of everything, I think Kill Bill 1 is way better movie for me. Like, if they came out with both on 4K, I would buy both because I'm a completist. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to buy both. But, like, if
one
I had
is
to choose
one
or the other,
watch more.
One would be the one that I would pop on and be like, yeah, this is awesome. But other than that, I think it's a great film, so I gave it a 4.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, I just said I've seen one more than two. And it's not that I love Tarantino films, pretty much all of them. But one is probably, Kill Bill Volume 1 is probably his most sort of accessible, easy to digest movie. In that it has dialogue, but it's not crazy heavy on it. And there's a lot of action and violence. And I know exactly what you're saying. You don't love his writing per se, but you do love his directing style and everything. And I agree. He knows how to do every single thing. He really does. He knows how to shoot two people talking in a room and make it more interesting than anyone. He knows how to direct a fight scene amazingly. So I agree. I gave it a 4 too. I don't think this is a perfect movie. I like the movie a lot. I prefer 1 for the pacing and the action scenes, but I think 2 is... I think the reason, or some people like 2 better, is 2 feels more like a Quentin Tarantino movie because it's a lot of talking, it's a lot of flashback cutting, you know, it's all over the place, it's told in like a different, not linear, and all this kind of stuff. 1 is sort of, but less so. So I think that's my 2 cents. I think that's why people either like one or the other.
And also, it felt like a very noir type movie, right? Like when she's talking to the camera, she was like, well, I'm gonna do this and whatever. Yeah, so like it got like a little old vintage noir thrown into like a marker. Like it's a lot of, if you're into like old classic movies, you're into old, like it has everything in one. Again, it could work for some people, it could not work for others. But
I mean, that's Tarantino. You know, he grew up in a freaking video store, so he knows all these old movies. He's inspired by all the stuff. He throws it all in a blender and spits out movies. That being said, a couple things. I love the cast because not only is it a Tarantino cast, like you get the normal people like Michael Madsen, you know, then you had talked about Daryl Hannah, Uma Thurman, David Carradine. You get Samuel L. Jackson never shows his face, but he's sitting at that piano talking with them at the church scene. And then you got, of course, Gordon Liu, if you don't know who he is, he's the guy who plays Pai Mei in this one. But he was from those old, like, Shaw Brothers, like, 36 Chamber of Shaolin and all those old martial arts movies. He was also in Kill Bill 1 as the Crazy 88s with the mask. He's the bald one. So he plays...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he plays two different people in each movie. Also, my favorite, Michael Parks. He plays the sheriff in the first movie who comes to the wedding. And he's all like... He was in... From Dust Till Dawn. Remember, he's the cop who's a
guy. Yeah, okay.
So he plays, and then in this movie, he plays the freaking Mexican pimp who she goes to find out where's Bill, and he's talking with the super thick accent. That's Michael Parks. And I think that scene is hilarious because of his accent. So he cast like a lot of people to play two roles in these movies, but it worked. I thought it was fun.
Then you had the guy from House of a Thousand Corpses.
Oh yeah, Sid Haig works at the strip club. Larry Bishop was the dude who works at the strip club who scribbles out his name. Like, it's just a who's who of like B actors and C actors and then like real famous people. So that's a typical Tarantino cast. I love it. So I gave it a 4. You gave it a 4. What's your total?
You know, it's funny. The person that I'm very shocked that never worked with him was Bruce Campbell.
Because I could see him. They would be a match made in heaven.
Yeah, I think he would fit that type of style of character for him. I
mean, Bruce Campbell is B-movie like legend. So you're right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a major B character. The 21 out of a 25.
I have a 20. So you actually scored a 1 point higher than me. I probably liked it a little more than you overall, but yeah, the action. Yeah, the action was the separator pretty much. So yeah. 21 for you, 20 for me. Yeah, I think it's a great film. My recommendation, if you have never seen these movies, watch them like literally back to back. I think it works best as one big experience personally. But all right, Alex, we're done with sequels month. We got a new month. Now, I did some shuffling, just so you know, because I'm a schedule maker, so I just make things happen sometimes and I don't tell you till we get here. Okay. But you know, I got the keys to the car and sometimes I gotta make a left turn. So something happened with next month because we're not gonna have one show because I'll be on vacation. So it's actually switched from a 5-movie month to a 4-movie month. And so I shuffled around the board because I thought this worked better. So not only is our new series going to be the James Bond film starring Sean Connery, which we're gonna start with Dr. No, but we're also doing Spy Month. Now, this is one we just talked about a couple of months ago.
Oh, that's
a couple
fun.
Weeks ago. I moved it up. So our first movie is going to be a little movie starring Brad Pitt, Robert Redford. It's called Spy Game, directed by Tony Scott, which we didn't get to do for our director spotlight. So we're going to do it now. But just so you guys know, the month will contain Spy Game, On Her Majesty's Secret Service. We're going to do a little spy comedy with some Get Smart. and we're going to do a little Marvel comic book spy movie with some Black Widow. So we got a little bit of everything for you. We got another Bond movie, a movie with spy in the name of it, and then a comedy and a Marvel film. So I think we got a nice little balanced mix.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. I think it's pretty cool. I'm very shy because we don't do much comedy action.
Right. We need to expand. We did Rush Hour and like I feel like barely anything else.
Get Smart is going to be funny.
Get Smart. I mean, it's got The Rock.
I like Get Smart.
Guy Hathaway, she's hot in this movie. I can't wait to rewatch this movie. I haven't seen it in a long time.
That's the one with the cone of silence.
I love that part.
This is so awesome.
Been years since I've seen it, but I remember that.
Yeah. I love Get Smart. All right, look, with that said, guys, if you guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything Action Movie Guys, head over to Instagram at Action Movie Guys Podcast or head over to youtube.com/geeksandflicks for the video version of the podcast. Other than that, he is your host,
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Alex Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.